Hope you have your New Testaments with you this morning, and if you do, I invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll spend almost the entirety of our time there in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6. I announced last week that we were beginning a series of sermons this week that will be going on for the next few Sunday mornings. Basically, just entitled Back to Basics. Looking at some pretty fundamental things of the gospel, looking at the church and our worship, looking at being Christians and Christians only, looking at the will of God as expressed and some things that we might consider fairly elementary. And I hope that you can join us. You didn't realize the trouble you were in if you're visiting with us this morning because you can't just catch the first one. You have to catch all of the others too. And so some of the Becks are in trouble. It's going to be quite a drive from Oklahoma, but if you can make it, we'd love to have you. But we are glad a number of people are visiting with us this morning and hope you stick around. We get to meet you and you can be back with us again. Someone might ask, well, why? Why study basics? Why study fundamentals? Why study some things that probably a large majority of people already know? Or at least we think they might already know. And I think the book of Hebrews gives us quite a good answer. And an example as the writer is instructing them in about Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 on down through verse 12. And he is rebuking or chiding them because of their lack of knowledge, because of their lack of growth as Christians. And he shows them why this has now become a great problem for them. And he's going to give them a remedy or a recipe. If they want to correct this situation, some things that they need to do. And I think that serves as a good introduction for us and an encouragement for us to be grounded, to be secure in what we might consider the basics or the fundamentals of the Christian faith. I hope you'll read with me this morning, beginning in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. And he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, or of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, for the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." First thing I'd like to point out that the writer is instructing them or reminding them here is that there are things they should have known. Since there's a condition, a level of spiritual maturity that you should be at in this point in your life or your Christian walk, and you're not there. There are things that you are lacking in. There ought to be some greater degree of understanding of the gospel. There ought to be some greater degree of being able to teach others about what you know in the gospel. And yet you can. In fact, if you understand the context earlier in chapter 5, he's been teaching them about the priesthood of Christ and how we have such a greater and more excellent covenant that we live under in the New Testament than existed in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. And throughout this whole book of Hebrews, he continues showing that superiority of this New Testament system. And particularly of the priesthood of Christ, whom he says is after the order of Melchizedek, verse 10, and not the order of Levi. And so he's showing the superiority of that priesthood. And then immediately in verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say." But he recognizes he's not able to. He's not able to because they're not at the level of comprehension that they should be at. He says there are things that you should know and you don't. Simple fact is, as you look at verse 12, he says you should be teachers by now. You should be able to go out and instruct others. You should be able to tell them, what have you done and what do you believe when you obeyed the gospel? He says, you're not. You're not at that level. In fact, instead of you now being able to be teachers, verse 12, he says, you have need that someone again come and teach you, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And again, I think in the context of the book of Hebrews here, he's not talking about some of the fundamentals such as we're talking about, the basics of the Christian faith. But the first principles of the oracles of God, that which was pointing the Jews to Christ. You don't even have the proper foundation that you should in the Old Testament as Jews. Now there's a lack of understanding here that we can't continue teaching. Now we've got to back up. We've got to start over. We've got to lay another foundation so that then we can go on and try to build on them again. He says, you're babes in Christ. Much like one that maybe has reached an adulthood. And now if he tries to go back under milk, we recognize here is one. He should be able to eat meat. He should be able to eat solid food. And yet for some reason or another, he's not able to digest it. He's not able to take it in and process it correctly. It says in the same way here, that's the condition you've become spiritually. We can't teach you the things that you need to know because you don't have a good foundation there. You don't have a good understanding. You aren't at a level that you should be. And understand here, he's not being irrational. He's not saying, well, you've just become Christian maybe a day or so before, and now you should know everything about God and about the Bible and about the church and all of these things. No. He says, by reason of time, again, verse 12, time has passed. They've had opportunity here. They should have been growing. And instead, I think we could look at them and say, in fact, what they've been doing is slipping backwards. And the same thing's going to happen to a mature adult that now tries to switch from a diet of solid food and he goes back on milk. He's not going to be able to grow. He's not going to be able to progress. So he says, you're not at a level that you should be. And sadly, I think the lesson for us today is that many Christians may find themselves in the same condition. Christians that maybe have been baptized over 20, 30, 50 years ago still don't know more than the day they were baptized. In fact, in some instances, may know less. Because as someone even stated to me this morning, if you're not using it, how oftentimes we forget it. And so they were slipping backwards, and that can happen to us the same way even today. There are those that have been baptized maybe only a few years ago, 2, 3, 5. And sometimes because they've retained that zeal and that interest in knowing God and studying more about His will, they are at a more mature level. Someone that's been a Christian 40, 50, 60 years ago. That older person that we might expect would know more and be more advanced and have a stronger basis, stronger faith. He hasn't grown. He hasn't matured. And so much like these Christians that the writer is speaking to here, there are things that they should know, but they don't. Oh, we certainly can use this, I believe, as an example, as a reminder to ourselves, not to expect too much out of a new convert. Remember that people are at different levels spiritually. When one is baptized, he may not have studied for years as maybe you have. May not have the same level of knowledge, same foundation that we do. But yet there's something there they can build on. They can continue working. But don't mistake this for exactly what it is. It is a rebuke to these people. And in like manner also, I believe, a rebuke to us if we recognize here we have had the opportunity to grow. We've had the opportunity to know. To mature in the Christian faith, and yet we haven't. And so now we need to recognize there are things that we should know, and we just don't. When Jesus sent His disciples out into the world, Matthew 28 and verse 20, He didn't just tell them, go out and teach them enough to baptize them and then leave them alone. He reminded them what they needed to be teaching, and he said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That enjoins on every person now that's obeyed the gospel to grow, to learn, to mature, to continue studying God's Word and learning more about Him and about His will. It also enjoins on us a responsibility to be able to tell others about the gospel. I'm going to be giving us a challenge this week and over the next few weeks as we study these fundamentals, to learn them, to make sure that our foundation is strengthened. But of any challenge that I'd give every one of us this morning is that if we are a Christian, can we even tell someone else what we believe or why we did what we did? No matter how long we've been a Christian, anyone that's in this room that's a Christian ought to be able to tell someone else exactly what they did to be in Christ. And that's a challenge for us this morning. If we can't tell someone the gospel plan of salvation, if we can't attach at least one verse with knowing where to find that gospel plan of salvation so that we could show someone, this is what I did that placed me into Christ, and this is what you can do as well. Will you accept that challenge to be built up and at least that fundamental step of knowing what one must do in order to obey the gospel? That we too have the opportunity now maybe to tell someone else, this is how you can be a Christian. There are things that we should know, and we have to ask ourselves as we look through some of these things, do I know them? Do I have that foundation of faith now that can be built on? Because what he's going to move on to now and show them, not only are there things they should have known but they don't, he's going to show them how that lack of knowledge or understanding has become a hindrance to them and also to others. It's not just a minor annoyance that here's a people that don't know what they should. Oh well. This has become a problem for these Christians because it's a barrier now to any further instruction or understanding. You go back again to verse 10 or verse 11 here. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered or interpreted, seeing that you are dull of hearing. Hard to be uttered, hard to be interpreted, hard to explain. But the reason here is not the difficulty of the teacher. The fault here lies squarely with the hearer. You've become dull of understanding. Your reasoning, your knowledge there isn't where it should be, that we can progress and continue learning more and more. Because a fundamental building block is already missing. And so how can we go on? We're going to have to back up now and teach some fundamentals that we can move onward. Again, we've looked at the context here of verse 10. He's trying to teach them about the priesthood of Melchizedek and Levi and now of Christ. How Christ has this better priesthood, a sacrifice that was once and for all. But if they didn't understand where this was coming from, it wasn't going to benefit any of them. And so he has to stop here and say, we'd love to teach you more things, but it is hard because the understanding on your part is not there. You've become dull of hearing. Notice here, he says, because of their lacking, you've become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. The things they needed were basic, were fundamental. I remember as we were trying to switch Seth and move him up in some foods, we had to back up. His digestive system wasn't quite where it needed to be for him to take some solid foods. We had to back up in the milk we were giving him for a little bit. Till that foundation was built up a little more, then he could move on. And now we can't get him to stop eating most of the time. He says the same is true for you. Now we've got to back up. We've got to build that foundation once again. But I do not believe for a minute here the writer is telling them there are milk and the meat passages. There are some things that an early Christian needs to know, but don't study these other things yet. No. He's saying they're milk and they're meat people. He's saying you are people now that have become need of milk. You need to know these other things. They're not unimportant. They're not something we should just sideline. You need to know them. But you can't digest. You can't properly understand yet. Because you're lacking and a foundation. And so they needed to properly understand. But without comprehension, they couldn't easily be taught what they needed to hear. And that was going to serve as a hindrance. It'd be much like Christy. She walks in, first day of school. Her fourth graders are filing in. And she maybe gives them a little test, or at least starts asking them questions to determine where they're at, where they need to start. You find out here are fourth graders and they can't read. It's going to pose a problem. I remember some of my teachers, as I'd go through school, at kind of same situations. And maybe all teachers say this. They say, well, that should have been taught to you by your teacher last year. That should have been covered in your studies last year or 2 or 3 years ago. And that's the same thing she would be studying or saying with her class that couldn't read of fourth graders. She said there's no foundation to build on. Now we've got to back up. We've got to talk about the alphabet. We've got to talk about words and how they form sentences and then understanding so we can get to reading. He said we should be talking about history and science and math. But we're not going to be able to move on in those things till we go back and build the basics. You see here, he's telling them, you should be teachers at this time, and instead you have need that one come in and teach you. The harm here is not just on themselves, but also on others. What benefit are they being as teachers to others? None. Because they can't teach. I don't think he's telling them here all of them have to go out and be public teachers, but at the same time, they didn't seem to have the basic understanding or ability to go out and tell anyone else about anything concerning the gospel. Foundation's not there. So now not only is the hindrance to you because you can't progress in knowledge, the hindrance is to others that you're not teaching. And the hindrance is to others still because someone needs to come back and teach you and spend time with you in these fundamentals instead of either teaching you more building blocks, building on that foundation, or going and teaching others. And so this wasn't something they could just shrug off and think, oh, well, you know, it only affects me. This was affecting many others that needed to be taught as well. So I think the warning here for us as Christians is again the need to grow and to mature. To grow in our faith, to grow in our understanding of God's Word. It amazes me. You come across people sometimes you may begin speaking to. Maybe it's someone you've come across that wants to study. Maybe it's someone you've knocked on their door. You want to talk about some pretty fundamental things. Let's talk about the uniqueness of the church that Christ built. Let's talk about being Christians and Christians only. And they will jump in with any topic that they can think of. Maybe sometimes some of the hardest topics they can think of. Let's go on and let's talk about all the aspects of our worship. And let's talk about why we do or do not use instrumental music. And let's talk about all the interpretations of the book of Revelation. When yet first there has to be a foundation of knowledge of God's Word. A foundation of authority. It's a place we have to start. Then we can move on from there and study some of those other building blocks. But if we don't first have that foundation, we're not going to be able to move on. I relate it to someone that wants to learn the high dive. Wants to climb up however many feet in the air and jump off some board into a big pool of water, and he hasn't even learned how to swim. It's not going to make a lot of sense. There are some foundations he needs first. It's not that he can't do it. It's not that he can't learn it. It's not that he's not able. But he needs to take them in the right order. And the same is true for us as Christians. We need to make sure that our foundation is secure, it's strong, it's built upon a firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of His Word. Is that what Christ is teaching us in Matthew chapter 7? About the wise builder and the foolish builder. The wise builder built his house upon the rock, and so when the winds and the storm and the rains came, that house stood firm. He says, so is everyone that heareth and doeth my words. What he's urging us, have that strong foundation. You see, there were some things they should know, but they didn't. And he shows them now that lack of understanding and that lack of knowledge has become a hindrance to you and also to others. It's something that has to be corrected. And so then finally he's going to give them a prescription. He's going to give them the recipe, if you will. How are you going to get out of this situation? And the answer is to progress and continue to build upon a good foundation. It says you need to be built up in the doctrine of Christ. In the context again of the book of Hebrews, the writer is showing them there is nothing left in the Old Testament. There is no hope. There is no salvation. There is no eternal life. That was a system that was in effect. It was a covenant that God had with His people. But it has been superseded. It has been replaced. It was nailed to the cross of Christ. And now the only hope of salvation is in Christ Jesus, the New Testament, the gospel of Christ. And yet if they were trying to turn and go back into that old system that's already been removed, He said, there's nothing there for you. You have no hope. You will be lost. Remember here, the book of Hebrews, He's writing here to Jewish Christians and Christians that are struggling. Some of them are struggling. You've come out of the Old Testament. It's what you've known. It's what you've been taught. And yet you haven't left it behind as you should. There were those that were saying we should take and we should try to mix both together. You should have the New Testament, but yet you also still have to cling to the old law. There were others that were being given the temptation, just give it up altogether. Leave the New Testament behind. Go back to what you are comfortable in. What you've known before. Go back to the Old Testament. And the writer's warning them, if you do, you give up every hope that you have in the gospel. Many have taught that chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 here, he's urging them to leave behind the basic principles of the gospel message. But I do not believe that's what the writer is encouraging them to do here. Rather, these are basics of the Old Testament. They were basics that pointed unto Christ. And he says that's what happened. They pointed unto Christ, but Christ has come. There's nothing to go back to now. Don't continue going back to that which cannot save you. He tells them here in chapter 6 and verse 1, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The word leave here is not a word for build upon. It's a word that stands for sending away, to leave, to forsake, to neglect. You have to leave behind the one that you can go on to the other. He's urging them, leave the Old Testament, the covenant, the law of Moses behind. There's no salvation in it anymore. And go on to completion in the gospel of Christ in the New Testament. Continue going on there. He's not telling them things like the basics. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ for the remission of our sins, the worship of the New Testament church and being Christians and Christians only. Those aren't the basics or the first principles he's considering here. There are many that would tell us, go on and leave those behind. We should be talking about higher spiritual principles. But those are always going to be important because they're the foundation of our faith in Christ. What he's talking about is something here that's far different. He tells them, don't keep laying the foundation of the Old Testament principles time and time again. I couldn't help but think of Highway 377 as you go through early. And I've only been here a few months, but it's been under construction the whole time I've been here. And as I understand it, quite a bit before that. If I understand the history right, that road was finished for about a year. And then they came in and they tore it all up again. You're asking yourself, what in the world's going on? It's like a builder that starts building a house and he lays the foundation. The next day he comes in and he brings a wrecking ball and he starts building it again. Next week he does the same thing and he begins asking himself, why am I not getting anywhere? Why is this house not built yet? You keep laying the foundation. That's what the Hebrews here were trying to cling to. You're not being built up. You're not progressing. You're not growing in your maturity in Christ because you keep laying this basis that's in the Old Testament. You should have already known. Those principles should have already been there. And so now it's necessary that someone come back and teach you those things again, that foundation can be there. What they needed to do was grasp these principles of the Old Testament. Understand them, yes. Be taught in them, yes, but don't keep clinging to them as their hope of salvation. Rather recognize they point us unto Christ. They point us unto the answer of salvation and that Christ is now come. He says, go on now, leave those behind, leave that foundation laid, and let's go on and be built up in the Christian faith. What does he mention here? He mentions repentance from dead works. I believe that's the sacrificial offerings that he says are no longer in effect. Those sacrificial offerings that had to be offered year by year, time and time again. He said, now in the New Testament, those are dead works. They're not beneficial to you any longer because Christ has sacrificed once and for all. Later in chapter 10, the Hebrews writer will say the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. But the precious blood of Jesus Christ can. Don't keep clinging to those old sacrifices, the repentance from dead works. Don't keep laying this foundation of faith towards God. As you look back in the Old Testament, the Jews had a foundation of a faith in God. They were taught that from an early age. They knew the covenant they had was with God. There shouldn't continue to be this question or this continual building of a foundation of faith in God. It's already there. It's something they should already know. What they needed now was a foundation of faith also in Christ and the New Testament gospel system. I believe that may be at least part of the message of John chapter 14 and verse 1. Ye believe in God, that's a given for the Jew. Believe also in me. That's the step they needed to take. Was faith also in Christ that He is the Son of God. He is the one that has now offered His blood, the atoning blood of the New Testament. The system that they should now follow. It's not again the laying again the foundations of the doctrines of baptisms. Not the New Testament baptism that puts us into Christ. Word here is in plural. Ephesians 4:5 tells us there is one baptism. He's speaking of things that are plural, and not only that, he uses a word here that is not used for the New Testament baptism of immersion that puts us into Christ. But this is a word that is often used for the sacrificial or the ceremonial washings of the Old Testament. A word that's going to be used again in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 10, as he says, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings. And carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation, the New Testament system of the gospel. Don't keep clinging to those ceremonial things of the old law. There is no salvation in them anymore. Move on to faith in the gospel. He mentions also the laying on of hands, and mine might typically go to the apostles laying on of hands. The approval of those that were going to be sent out. But yet the laying on of hands was an important part of the Old Testament system as well. Leviticus will tell us about the laying on of hands, that the sacrifices that were brought to the temple, the offerer would lay his hand upon that sacrifice. There would be the laying on of hands to anoint the priest. And again, at the yearly sacrifice of the scapegoat, the priest would lay his hand upon the scapegoat that was sent out into the wilderness in representation of the sins of the nation. He says, but again, those things no longer have any meaning. They no longer have any basis in the New Testament. They're a foundation principle. We can build on that. We can learn from example. We can see some principles there as we study the Old Testament. But we can't find salvation in them any longer. The resurrection of the dead. Again, you go to the New Old Testament and you will find they understood the resurrection of the dead. Maybe not all of the details, but Job will speak about standing before his Creator and before his Judge in the book of Job. Again, the psalmist, Psalm chapter 57, verse 15, talks about standing before a judge. Daniel 12, verse 2. So many verses speak about an understanding that there is going to be a resurrection. And so when Christ Jesus comes to this earth, you don't find much in the Gospels that speak too much about the resurrection. His promise, I'm coming forth again. But they should have already had an understanding there was going to be a resurrection. And then also in conjunction with that, eternal judgment is the last thing he mentions. And again, that was understood in the book, in the Old Testament. These are principles they should have already known. They knew there was going to be a resurrection from the dead. They knew there was going to be an eternal judgment. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. Understanding, we'll all stand before our judge and be judged for eternity. So he's telling them, why would we keep laying this foundation over and over again and never progress, never mature, never move onwards? They should have already been grounded in these things. They should have already known. But because they failed to grasp these things, they couldn't easily continue to be taught. They couldn't continue to grow. I think a great lesson for us there is to recognize the importance of a firm foundation. A foundation that's built upon principles. A foundation that's built upon the basics of the gospel system. But we cannot continue to focus just upon those basics without ever moving forward. Maybe another example of that is I would think of a personal study with someone. Oftentimes what we're urged to do is find out where that person is and build from that point. I don't want to spend 5 or 6 hours trying to show someone the existence of God that already believes in God. Am I going to continue studying with him forever that you should have faith and a belief that there is a God that created the universe when he already has it? And so I can't move onward now and teach him about other important aspects of the gospel and the plan of salvation, about repentance and confession and baptism, about the church that Jesus died for, that he built, that he promised to save, he's coming again for, about the worship and the identifying characteristics of that church and how to be a member thereof. If I never move beyond faith. He says, yes, those things can be important. Lay that foundation. But we can't continue laboring those points without maturing, without continuing to grow. We're not to leave them behind. It's good to be reminded of things from time to time. Paul and Peter and others of the New Testament would remind us, I'm reminding you of things you already know. But yet it was good to have those reminders. But we just can't continue dwelling on them constantly without ever growing, without ever maturing in our faith. And so have that firm foundation, that strong foundation in the principles of the Christian faith. Be reminded of them from time to time. Why do we preach on them? Because there are those maybe that are less mature that need that foundation in the basics and the principles. But also because from time to time we need our own foundation strengthened and encouraged. We need to be reminded of those basics, of those principles. Maybe we've let them slip out of our head a little bit. Maybe we're just not familiar with them enough that we can't teach others. And so it's good for us to be reminded of those things. This is only going to happen, he tells them now. If you go back to verse 14. The end of that verse, he says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You're only going to grow. You're only going to continue maturing if you are exercising these things, if you are using them. Using your senses, the power of discernment. Physically, we think of our senses as the touch and sight and smell and taste. But spiritually, same type of idea. That idea to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. Using the knowledge of God's Word being familiar with it, we have trained ourselves in it. I wouldn't want to go out to a gun range or out hunting in a field with someone that had no training, no knowledge of how to use a gun. I'd want them to first know what they were doing. Use it. Exercise it. Train yourselves in these things. And also then in verse 13, gain experience in the word of righteousness. It says you need to know the gospel of Christ. You need to know the word of God. You need to continue studying it and building up in it, putting it to use in our life so that we can discern between good and evil. You know, as we study over these, what we'll call basic principles, fundamentals, I want you to be asking yourselves a question. And do I know these things? Do I truly know them? Do I understand them? If not, study them. Learn them. Memorize some of these things so that we can tell others, so that we can become teachers, so that we can instruct others. This is what I've done. This is what I did to be a New Testament Christian, and you can do the same thing. And maybe as we go through these things, we say, I know these things. Use them as a strengthening tool, a reminder tool, to build and to strengthen, to firm up that foundation, so that we continue then to be able to be teachers and not have to go back again and lay a foundation that has to be built over and over and over again. There were things they needed to know. Unfortunately, they didn't know it, and it had become a hindrance to them. The only way they were going to fix that problem now was to grow in the gospel of Christ, to know more about God and about His Word, to use it in their lives. It's the same encouragement I want to give us today. Are there things we should know but we don't? It's going to be a hindrance to us. It's going to be a hindrance to others. Can we be built up? Can we build that firm foundation of the knowledge of the basic principles of the gospel of Christ? Be able to put them to use, not only in our lives, but also be able to put them to use by teaching others about them. It's the encouragement I give you not only this morning, but as we study these lessons over the next few weeks. Maybe there's someone here today that's never become a New Testament Christian, but that has heard the gospel of Christ, the word of God, and is ready to put it into action in their lives. They believe it, for without faith it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Deciding now, I want to follow His will, and so I'll repent of my sins, as God commands all men everywhere to do, Acts 17 and verse 30. To change from our own will and decide to follow His. To confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a verbal confession made with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And to be baptized or immersed in water for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. To be added unto His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And then to continue faithfully with Him. And if we stumble, if we fall, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us of our sins. That we can repent, confess of those things, pray for that forgiveness, and He will wipe those things away once again. Maybe it's just a decision. I haven't been growing. I'm not where I should be. And at least make the mental decision even this morning. I want to grow. I want to mature as a Christian. To be able to help myself and to be able to help others. Once you make that commitment even this morning, and if need be, make it known as together we stand and sing.